verses 24 through 27. It might help to put this in context. It is a part of the Sermon on the Mount, the close of that great and timely sermon, timely even in our day. Listen for the Word of God. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them," said Jesus, "will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
But I wouldn't miss this for the world. We had 16 middle schoolers and 4 brave adults go to Green Bay, Wisconsin for our mission trip. A huge thanks to Joe Luffelman, Anthony Zott, and Amy Bowman. We even import some of our chaperones from California. We had a blast in Green Bay, and I would like the kids to be able to share a little bit about our trip. But I just want to say that as a champion for middle schoolers, it's very common that they get the short end of the stick. They're not quite old enough to do pretty much all the stuff they want to do. They're barely old enough to sit in the front seat of the car. So in that world of, no, not yet, you're not old enough, I have found that they are old enough, they are capable, and a quick smattering of what we did in Green Bay. Our work groups split up, and we went to the Boys and Girls Club. We went to nursing homes. We worked in food pantries. We worked in domestic abuse shelters, thrift stores, did gardening, cleaning. A huge combination of both labor and personal relational work. So next time you middle school kids are told you're too young, I just want you to remember how much you accomplished on this trip and how much love you shared. Because I can tell you they are not just capable, but they are willing and they are eager to show God's love to others. I'm very proud of all of you, and I can't wait for next year.
Hi, I'm Peyton. You probably know my brother Justin, and I'm outgoing eighth grader going into freshman year in high school. And I just want to talk about all the experiences I had on mission trip. There were many times that I saw God in this mission trip. One of the many times were in the beginning of this week, we didn't even know half these people there. But at the end of the week, we were all swaying and singing all together. And another time I saw God was when we were working at the food pantry. There was a guy who took the time out of his life to come over and help us and pack eggs with us. Just that tiny thing that he took out of his time, out of his life, to come help us. And then there are people also at the food pantry who also worked at the food pantry, and then they got in line to get their own food. Those are just some of the many ways I saw God on my mission trip.
I thought that would happen. Okay. Hi, my name is Hannah, and our trip to Green Bay was my first mission trip, but it was the 11th for my family, so. My 3 brothers have told me how much fun mission trips are, but I didn't fully understand until I was capable of going on one. I was very nervous at first. I didn't know the kids from youth group very well, and I was afraid I wouldn't be a part of the group. That didn't last long. Within 15 minutes into the car ride, we were talking and laughing, and all my concerns were gone. It felt like I'd known them for years. During the trip, my work group went to the Boys and Girls Club, worked at a food pantry, and visited an assisted living home. I love the assisted living home. The people there were happy, full of life, funny, and excited to see us. At the Boys and Girls Club, we met Muscle Man and Izzy. Muscle Man is a 7-year-old boy who likes to tell everyone he has the biggest muscles in town, but they're really not bigger than mine. Izzy is an adorable 9-year-old girl who brightened up my day by inviting me over for a sleepover because she had ice cream. We had fun drawing dinosaurs, and she sent this one home with me. Along the way, there were new friends, crazy selfies, trips to Starbucks, pranking the boys, throwing water balloons, voice cracks, extremely hot showers, Tilly the dog, 7-layer dip combos, Alvin and the Chipmunks version of Honey, I'm Good, fights over Amy, Marilyn, my brother's 86-year-old girlfriend, and late nights, and late nights playing guess the emoji and trying to laugh quietly. I learned that even small gestures, a smile, a hello, holding someone's hand, or even coloring for 2 minutes, can make someone's day. I learned that even as a kid, I can make a difference, and that makes me feel really good. I hope I can convince anyone who is not so sure about going on the next mission trip to go. I'm glad I did, and it turned out to be one of my favorite weeks of summer. And I'm looking forward to many more trips to come.
Hello, I'm Jordan. You may have heard the term, what happens on the mission trip stays on the mission trip, and that is 100% true. This year, the middle school youth group Wild Faith went to Green Bay, Wisconsin. It was amazing how much it impacted me for being my first mission trip. I arrived psyched for the work and making new friends, so that's what I did. On Monday, my group got put together. It was Ruthie, Emily, Paige, Natalie, Victoria, and I. The leaders were Joe, and Anne. So we called ourselves Team Estrojoe, short for Estrogen and Joe. Half of us were from Wildwood, and the rest were from Iowa. We started by going to a house for abused women and children called Golden House. When we got there, I decided to clean the kitchen. So I did, and no one thanked us except the janitor, but we all knew that they were thankful. After that, we visited a nursing home, and there was a lady with Alzheimer's. I started talking about how much I love glitter. She just laughed. It made me laugh, too, because it was just so sweet. At that nursing home, they all made hats for the youth groups that came, so I got a hat. On Tuesday, we went back to Golden House, and I noticed this little blonde boy that really liked to run away from people and have them chase him. Due to confidentiality, I will give him a new name, and I will call him Matt. Matt came up to us girls and just stared at us. His mom said that he liked girls. He was always on an iPad watching dinosaur videos, so we decided to get him outside on Wednesday. When Wednesday came, we went outside with 3-year-old Matt and played. First, I held him up to do the monkey bars, and the smile I put on his face was incredible. Next, I played dinosaurs with him, and I was a T-Rex. As I chased him, the smile grew 10 times bigger. I've made the kids smile, but none like this. It was an amazing feeling to have done a simple thing like that. We then cooked them tacos, but then we had to say goodbye. That was hard to do. Matt cried and we all gave him hugs. I admit I almost cried myself. I will never forget Golden House and the rest of the fun, funny, or joyful moments on the trip. I didn't imagine it to impact me so much. Again, you may have heard the term, what happens on the mission trip stays on the mission trip. And all of us know that's true.
I'm delighted to invite Stephanie DeLullo and Josie Taylor and Danielle Gualtieri to come up to this pulpit and tell you about our wildfire mission trip. Stephanie? Josie.
Hi, I'm Stephanie DeLulo, and really I think the first thing I need to say is Dave! Dave! Okay. So when I told people that I was willingly taking a week off of work to go on a mission trip with 40 teenagers, they quite predictably said, "What?" And I have to admit, I too was skeptical, though I'd heard great things from fellow advisors and the Wildfire alum that I'm married to. Shout out to you, Chris DeLulo. I didn't know if my experience would be the same. I didn't know if I could be away from my girls for that long. I didn't know if I could live up to the amazing precedents that had been set by the advisors who have seen it all and who have whom the kids love and respect so much. And I didn't know if I could fit this trip into my hectic and crazy schedule. However, it turns out that there was only one thing I needed to know, that these people, these wonderful, crazy people, adults and teens, would make this a truly amazingly awesome experience. You see a lot of kids lately who appear apathetic, ungrateful, disinterested, even lazy, and it can be disheartening. But this group of kids is just the complete opposite. I watch them every day, painting, hammering, lifting, shoveling, drilling, cleaning, all with one goal in mind, to help these people who need it. Oh my. I said that a lot on this trip, by the way. and it was never just merely about getting a job done and saying, okay, it's done. There was a tremendous amount of pride and dedication that went into these tasks. So much so that they actually had the site manager scrambling to find more jobs for them to do. That same site manager went on to sing their praises loud and proud throughout the week and expressed his amazement at the way these kids banded together and just knocked these jobs out. I think that as a parent, there is no better thing than someone telling you what an amazing person your kid is. And I wanted all of you to know you have some amazing kids. I think that I speak for all of the advisors when I say, like, you can truly be proud of them. Sure, we had our goofy times when we rocked out in our cars to loud music, which Greg Dana claims to like now, and I don't believe him. getting more paint on each other than on churches, firing quotes from movies and TV shows back and forth, laughing so hard it hurts, and in my case, until you snort really loud, and harassing each other out of love. There are also times that they showed the deep love and bond that they have for one another. From rope, cards, and mission buddies, to princess times, long talks on scaffolding and beyond, hugs, Snapchats, texts, loud proclamations, nicknames, and discussions, it was quite evident that love is the mortar that keeps this group together. I have said before that I so wish that I had found Wildfire sooner when I was in high school, but I'm so incredibly happy that it is here as a safe haven to light up the darkness or to make the sunny days sunnier for whoever needs it. It makes my heart full to know that they have this and that one day my kids will be lucky enough to have it too. I'm so thankful to have you all in my life now and that you welcome me into the group with open and mostly loving arms. I love you all, and despite what I said on this trip, I love all your faces.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Danielle Gualteri, and as some of you know, I just graduated high school and just came back from my fourth and final Wildfire mission trip. In just about a month, I will be heading off to the University of Denver in Colorado. It's about a 15-hour drive, and I think it's safe to say that I won't be coming home on the weekends. Usually when I tell people that I'm going so far, I get showered with compliments of how brave and how strong and independent I must be in order to go so far away from home. And I can think back and realize that in order to be so brave and strong and independent, I had to have a good foundation. My foundation lies in my childhood and in my adulthood. And my teenhood, and a lot of what made my foundation, a lot of what made me feel brave and strong enough to do what I'm doing lies in my Wildfire youth group. It is such a place full of love. and a place that genuinely wants to lift you up. They make sure that you have the strong and sturdy foundation you need to grow and be lifted to your full potential. The foundations Wildfire builds are great ones, so great that each of us kids can grow and thrive into skyscrapers. The youth group tries and succeeds to make sure that every one of us knows that we can be great and gives us a starting point from which to build. At the end of the trip this year, when I got my piece of rope, an advisor, Lauren Hilty, came up to me and told me, "Welcome to the club." I am now an alumni of the Wildfire Youth Group, and this is really exciting. It also means that even though I just went on my last mission trip, my Wildfire family doesn't stop there. I still have people to fall back on, not only the ones that are currently in Wildfire, but the ones who have been in it before me, and the ones who were in it with me, and the ones who will be in it after me. My foundation is still strong and will always be there. I like to think of Wildfire like a neighborhood. It starts with one foundation, one skyscraper. One skyscraper that is built on a nice, hardy, sturdy piece of land. And that one encourages other foundations to be built. And the neighborhood grows and the skyscrapers grow taller and it keeps getting better and we keep getting higher. It's a ripple effect. As more and more foundations are built and more people are uplifted, as we lift them up in the youth group, we share love with each other, and that love that we share with each other pours out into the world through things like our mission trip. We are able to spread the love and encourage other people in other communities to also build strong foundations, causing another ripple effect. You know, it starts with one person, and it starts with one group, and Wildfire is such an amazing starting point. I am so lucky to have that as my starting point. It really did make me a better person, and we really do make the world a better place. I'm so blessed to have been a part of it, and so blessed that I have a foundation from Wildfire that will last my entire life. Without the foundation that I have, I wouldn't be the skyscraper that I am today. Thank you.
Hello and good morning, everyone. My name is Josie Taylor, and I really wanted to talk to you not necessarily just about the group of Wildfire youth that went on this mission trip, but more about the place that we went and my experiences there. So as you know, a handful of youth from Wildfire recently returned from a mission trip in West Virginia, and it was an amazing experience. However, I originally didn't want to go. As a senior, I should have been excited, and yet as the days of mission trip grew closer, I became more scared and nervous for personal reasons, and I really was not looking forward to the trip. I am so thankful that I went, because it just was an amazing experience for me, and I felt like I learned a lot. This mission trip taught me about one thing specifically, love. And it's not the type of love that we feel in the group. It's something a little bit different. It's more about the love of a community, about these people who went out of their way to not only help their family, but go up, drive through the mountains and help people that they didn't even know the address. They didn't have the phone number. We were kind of getting lost there for a little while, but we eventually found them. And I don't think I realized the importance of this type of love until Thursday night when Greg Dana sat us down for an early church service. There he read a passage from the book of Matthew, the same one that was read to all of you today, and it outlined the importance of listening to God's will and commandments. The passage stated that those who follow God completely live in a house built on rock. They are safe from not only natural disasters, but also more protected from bad influence in the world, or at least that's the way I took it. And yet those who do not follow God in as many ways have a house that is more likely to be tainted and swept away because the foundation is made of sand. I'm not completely sure if I understood the passage the way it was meant to be taught, but the only thing that I thought was, is it really so easy to have a house that is either on rock or on sand? And I believe that answer is no, and here's why. Later in the week, my mission group was given the task to clean out the remnants of an abandoned church. This was a very emotional job, and it only got harder when I found an old mission trip photo album. Inside were pictures from the group's trips to Jerusalem, London, Africa, and so many other places. And holding this book, I could feel the love that was shown, not only in taking the trip, but in also making the scrapbook, you could see how much fun and how caring all of these individuals were. It was so heartwarming. These people obviously had a love for their community and for others. The church was successful in all its endeavors, and you could see that with all the plaques on the walls stating that it had gotten 100% in this action or this action, so many. And here I was, standing among the abandoned pews of a church that had been left alone for 8 years. All the things had been left in the church. This is exactly why it's not easy to live on either rock or sand. This church obviously was once a rock during its years of service, but somehow had faltered off its path and had fallen into the sand. I would like to call this the middle ground, and maybe to begin with, they were not really on rock or sand, they were somewhere in between. You can think of any different type of analogy that you would like, but I think the only way that this church was able to stay stable to begin with and to completely and show all of its actions that it wanted to was by continuing to try to live by God and show love. I learned this week that living in both rock and sand is okay because you can be successful in all your endeavors. The point is to keep showing love and always move on, as I'm sure all the members of this church did, wherever they are now. Thank you.
There are times when a smart preacher simply says, Amen.